Blog Talk Radio. How many people encouraged tonight?
Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come
that's
on,
right,
let's give God
right.
some praises while they're praising the Lord. We have to speak over ourselves. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am encouraged on this morning. Amen. Praise God. Welcome, 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 welcome. Amen. To Reign of Glory Revival Ministry. Amen. Glory to his name. You are on the air with no other than the one and only. Amen. Apostle Carolyn McNeil this morning. This is our Sunday morning service. Glory to God. I'm excited. Amen. What the Lord is going to do on today, that he take full control today. Amen. Praise God. Blessing, blessing, blessing to everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. Amen. That was a blessed song this morning. Amen. Because, yes, we have to encourage ourselves, speak over ourselves. Amen. Praise God. So we thank you. Praise God for that song this morning. Amen. Glory to his name. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just come and we thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, God, for your mercy this morning, God. We thank you, glory to God, for waking us up this morning, Father, in our right mind this morning. Hallelujah, God. We give you all the glory this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are here again to give you praise and to give you honor, to give you glory this morning, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, as we come this morning, yes, Holy Spirit, I pray, Father God, that the word of God will go to every household, glory to God, represented here with power and authority, glory to God, to change our lives, to renew us, to refresh us, to revive us, glory to God, to bring us closer to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, as I pray this morning, Lord God, that, yes, Holy Spirit, that I will step aside and let the Holy Spirit take control of the service this morning. Glory to your name, Father. And we just say thank you, Lord. Shanda, Holy Ghost. I pray, God, for wisdom. I pray for knowledge. And I pray for a greater understanding of your word, God, that I will speak truth, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. So we say thank you, God. Glory to your name, Father, for the word of God that's going to go forward this morning, Lord God, that we will sit back and we will meditate on your word, God, to bring life, glory to God, to our soul, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In your son Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving in my heart and my soul says amen on this day. Praise the Lord, everyone. Glory to God. We are continuing in the churches. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We did the church of Thyatira on last week. That was the corrupt church. Amen. This week, amen, we are in, glory to God, the church of Sardis. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we know that the church of Sardis, amen, is the dead church. Amen. Glory to his name. So we're going to get right into the word of God, and we're going to see what the Lord is going to do for us today. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's doing me great honor to study these words. Amen. Glory to God, and study what God has given us, the seven churches. We don't know why God does what he does, and glory to God, and how he speaks to us, but it's for a reason, amen, that we are all getting to learn about the churches. Amen. Praise God. First the word first, and then it goes out, glory to God, to the people. Glory to God. But remember, I minister unto the Lord as I am studying the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let us get into the word. The message to Sardis. Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to read this in, let me see, the Amplified. I was going to read it in the New King James. Let me read it in the Amplified that we can understand a little better. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some people don't understand certain portions of these Bibles. Amen. And I read this and it kind of like opened up a little bit more to me. Amen. And let me just go. Revelation, the third chapter, starting at verse number 1. To the angel, the divine messenger of the church of Sardis, he says, write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know your deeds. You have a name, meaning a reputation, that you are alive, but in reality, you are dead. He said, wake up and strengthen and reaffirm what remains of your faithful commitment to me, which is about to die, he said, for I have not found any of your deeds completed in the sight of my God or meeting his requirements. So remember and take to heart the lessons you have received and heard. The Bible says, keep and obey them and repent. Change your simple ways of thinking and demonstrate your repentance with new behaviors that prove a conscious decision to turn away from sin. So then, if you do not wake up, he says, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Verse number 4 says, but you still have a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes. That is, hallelujah, contaminated their character and personal integrity with sin. And they will walk with me dressed in white because they are worthy. Righteous, he who overcomes the world, hear me, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God will accordingly be dressed in white clothing. And I will never blot out his name from the book of life. And I will confess openly, acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels, saying that he is the one of mine. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. The story of the church of Sardis is the most saddest of all the seven churches. It's a story of a tremendous pride, as well as an illustration of how pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16 and 18 from all my Bible scholars, because pride, God hates pride. Glory to God. It stands as a warning to those who think they can stand before God dressed only in their own righteousness. So here it is. It says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's for the prideful one, that I would never fall. I would never do that. I would never say that. I would never think that. Come on, Holy Ghost. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. The church at Sardis boasted in its life and its reputation, and the community shouted clearly and loud that it was alive. But in reality, this church was really dead. So Christ wrote in verse 1, however, the fact that he wrote to the church at all suggests that he deliberately spoke death, come on, to emphasize the condition of the church. Can you imagine Jesus speaking over this church and saying that they were like spiritual zombies, and glory to God, a dead church, amen, praise God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Here, securely held to fall or collapse, and the very real danger of impending death. If it were really dead, there would have been no point to writing to it. The Bible says in verse 4 and 5 also shows that the language here, in any case, the problem with the church is that it had taken upon itself the characteristics of the area in which they live. And you know how it is, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. As I was hearing yesterday, praise God, that we come a portion, or we are like the place that we live in, and glory to God, that is not true, praise God. But this church, amen, took on the reputation of where they lived. They thought they was all that. Can I say that? Glory to God. They thought that, amen, praise God, they could wear the big hats, wear the suits, and wear the nice shoes. And glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But yet they was dead. Come on, Holy Ghost, my God. I say thank you, Jesus. That's just like getting up in the morning, amen, putting on your Sunday vest. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is no power on the inside. Glory to God. You're just going through the motions. I'm going to get up like the ritual that I do. I'm going to get up on Sunday morning. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. But in reality, the glory to God, they were still dead on the inside. Sometimes people say we come the product of our environment. So the city of Sardis, which boasted its strength and its power, stood like high, 15 feet above the sea level on top of a mountain. They was high up, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And they thought they was all that. This plus the fact that only access to the city was a small path to the south that was both difficult and glory to God, to get through, to navigate, and to well-guarded, glory to God. They was all that. They thought that they was all that, but Jesus wrote them a letter, allowed the people of the city to rest soundly at night. They had come to believe that their little piece of land was untouchable. Sardis boasted its strength, but its boasting was in vain. And as we will see shortly, the city had already fallen into the hands of its enemy on several occasions as a sign of its weakness. And the mount on which the city stood, praise God, is almost 500 feet shorter today. Glory to God. Now today it's set up high, praise God. But every time you turn around, there was something going on. And the dead church, Christ said that the church of Sardis, I know thy works. He had said the same thing to each of the four churches that were considered thus far. And these earlier instances, he meant, I know thy work, and I am pleased with them. But here the meaning is exactly the opposite. The end of the verse says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. In fact, there was so little that was praiseworthy in the church at Sardis that Christ not only failed to commend it for anything, he simply pronounced it dead. Can you imagine, praise God, yet Corobo Sando, Holy Ghost, that Christ pronounced the church dead? Think about it. It had become stagnant, showing or feeling no interest, no enthusiasm or concern, and sluggish in his service of Jesus Christ, as a result, no longer deserved the reputation that it had enjoyed in years gone by. David, listen to this, David lament as he grieved the death of Saul, and Jonathan fit it well. He said, how are the mighty falling? How have you come from one place and got sluggish? How did you come from another place and got stagnant? How did you come from one place and lost your enthusiasm? How did you lose interest in the first work that I've already told you? How did you lose interest in his service to Jesus Christ, as a result, no longer deserved the reputation they had enjoyed? However, the church at Sardis didn't suffer from the same kind of problems that plagued Ephesus, glory to God, Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira. All of these other churches were situated in the communities that were actively hostile to the truth. And all of them were challenged to one degree or another with false doctrine. We could say that they were plagued with troubles from within and trouble outside, because glory to God, if you ever find, amen, praise God, a church that's struggling on the inside and struggling on the outside, praise God, it's a hard thing to try to pastor a church that you're going through on the inside, and then you got to go through on the outside. Glory to God. So glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So they were going through some things. But here, praise God, yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, when they're plagued with those things, glory to God, thank you, Lord Jesus, false doctrines and glory to God, all those things that was going on, peace can be tremendous blessing in the church. In 1 Timothy 2:1-2, Paul commands believers to pray for those in authority so that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So when we have a pastor, come on, I want to talk to us today. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. We have to pray for our leaders that they will have a peaceful life. They may have what they need, glory to God, that they can live a life of godliness and honesty. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. But the church failed to pray for the leaders. My God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the ones that's given the word, it's okay to pray for them. We just don't come to hear the word. We pray for our leaders that they will stand strong, because they're going through in and they're going through outside of the church. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. So pray that they have a peaceful life, that they have everything that they need to go on with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My God, I say thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit is speaking. But outward peace is not necessarily sometimes a good thing, and it's never a blessing if you lack God's favor. Jesus warned the disciples of an extremely dangerous kind of peace. Listen what he said, where he said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. This kiss of death, peace, is what the church at Sardis had. It had no problems because it wasn't doing anything that anyone objected to. Come on, Holy Spirit. When you find that, praise God, that you are so comfortable in your sins, that they're not speaking of your sins, that they're not talking about their sins, they just want everybody to feel good message. We've grown to, glory to God, to gravitate to the feel good message. But how about the message that really pricks your heart? And good, just like the Lord says, he's a discerner of the heart, glory to God. So the word is quick and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, dividing the sun, the soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. It's the zone of the heart. Come on, Holy Ghost. Yes, my God, I give you glory. So when they're not speaking truth, everybody loved the church. They came into the church. They wanted to be a part of the church because it wasn't saying nothing. Glory to God, that glory to God, to come out of your sins. Glory to God, and live right. Don't shack up. Don't sleep with this one. Don't drink. They was good with that because the church did not do that. So they was happy. And this meant that it wasn't doing anything pleasing to God either. Every church and every believer needs to be aware of such peace. My son, the Holy Ghost. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Because the church has taught us be revived again, the hope of, when they resuscitate, glory to God, that bring it back to life, glory to God, had been completely extinguished. No, bringing it back to life. Consider how Christ introduced himself to this church as the one who has the seven spirits of God, the spirit of the living God. He is the one by whose authority the Spirit of God in all of his fullness gather, defends and preserves the body of Christ through the mighty works of the Spirit. Christ can revitalize each church that for all intents and purpose has breathed its last breath. Glory to God. You know, when I was a chaplain, I seen people breathe their last breath. And think about this in the medical terms. Glory to God. When they breathed their last breath, the church had breathed its last breath. And glory to God. And for Jesus to come to pronounce the church dead, come on, Holy Ghost. And how would he do this except by sending his minister to preach the gospel through his spirit, causing his people to hear and to turn to the faith? My God, I give him glory. Thus, Christ not only has the seven spirits of God, he also holds the seven stars in his right hand. The seven stars, according to Revelations 1 and 20, represent the angels or the ministers, the pastors of the seven churches. Glory to God. From this, we learn that the Spirit of God, glory to God, is pleased work with his grace and salvation through the simple speaking of the gospel. This is anointing. Ordinary mode of operation. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I don't understand sometimes that people can be right in the presence of God and run from the presence of God. They run from the word of God. They run from truth, my God. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God not only ministers life to those who are spiritually dead, it also strengthens life in those whom Christ has already made alive. Because our life is always dependent upon his sovereign will. We need to ask God constantly for his word and his spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. With the psalmist, we should cry, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. into thy tabernacle. That's Psalms 43:3. Oh, we should cry, Lord, let the light of truth come. Glory to God. Lead me, bring me to the holy hill. Bring me to the tabernacle, to the dead church at Sardis. Christ gave five commands. And in verse 2, he told it to be watchful and to be strengthened, and strengthen the thing which remains. We talked about that on last week. Strengthen what remains in you. Don't let the fire go down. And my son, the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. In verse 3, he added that it must remember what it had received and heard. What did you remember? What did you receive and heard? And that's what we talked about on the glory to God in past days. Amen. Praise God. Hold fast to those things and repent. The church had to live according to the grace that it professed. So we have to remember what we first heard and remember, hallelujah, what Jesus already taught us. So this church had the word of God. They had their pastor. But what happened? They got lazy in the things of God. They got, oh, my son, the Holy Ghost. There was no enthusiasm for the will of God. There was no enthusiasm for the work of God. The first command was to be watchful to wake up. In other words, Christ required the church to perform a diagnostic self-examination. You know, praise God, we need to go to the outside, glory to God, when you have a broken up car, they have this machine that it connects it to. My God, I give them glory, Jesus. Glory to God. You have a car, so they go and they say, and you say, something's wrong with the engine. Something's wrong. It's making noises. My God, I give you glory. So they hook it up to a machine. My God, I say, thank you, Jesus. And then they print out everything that is wrong with the car. Praise God. Yet, Corobo, Son, the Holy Ghost. So sometimes, amen, we got to get hooked up to Jesus. My God, I say thank you, Lord Jesus. And we got to ask God, what is in me that's going out? The fire, I don't have the enthusiasm no more. I don't seem to want to do this no more. I don't seem I want to pray no more. I don't seem that I want to read no more. I don't want to do the work no more. Something is wrong. We have to have a self-examination. And this is what's going on with the church at Sardis. They lost what they had. He said, glory to God, strengthen what remains. It needed to see for itself where it stood in relations to him. Was it still walking by faith? Was it worship and service springing out of the heart, warm by the love of the crucified, resurrected Savior? Or did it follow through the motions of service as a mere formality? And this is what's going on sometimes in the church. I'm going to get, this is what I do. This is what Daddy did. Glory to God. They got dressed. They went to church every Sunday. But glory to God, that's a formality. What are you going to church for? I'm going to go good more Sunday, Holy Ghost, that my life will be changed. Every time I enter into his presence, something be deposited or something comes out. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Did it seek to please Christ by obeying his law and honoring him in all things? Christ charged the church as Sardis to find the answer to these questions. Glory to God. So sometimes we have to do a self-examination. In fact, every believer should perform a similar diagnostics on the regular basis. When Jeremiah wrote that the heart is deceitful, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and then follow this with a simple question, who can know it? Who can know the heart? I don't know, praise God. You might say something to me and I might jump over the glory to God, the counter. Because glory to God, we don't know ourselves. But God said it, the Holy Ghost. We got to be careful because glory to God. Jeremiah said it best. Glory to God, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And then followed and asked, who can know the heart? It meant that no man Not even the most sanctified believer can fully appreciate the depths of his own depravity, moral corrupt or wickedness. We don't know. Did David, the apple of God's eye, ever think that he would commit adultery and murder and therefore dishonor God and bring misery to his own family and his own kingdom? Because that's what happened. God, glory to God. See, even though David was the apple of God's eyes, come on, Holy Ghost, his family suffered for his actions and the kingdom. Had Peter, who once boasted that he would remain loyal to Christ even if all the other disciples forsook him, even considered the possibility that he would deny the Lord three times in a single night. A careless spiritual life often leads to disaster. That's why Paul exhorted believers who think they stand to take heed lest they fall. If anything of a value could be found in the church of Sardis as a result of its self-examination, Christ's second command requires that it be reinforced and strengthened. Reinforced and strengthened. Can I say it one more time? Reinforced and strengthened. Apparently, the church still had a pastor, and the preaching of the word of God. If the Lord can bring light out of darkness simply by commanding it to be so, he can also cause the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to shine in the face of Jesus Christ in this congregation. 2 Corinthians 4:6, he does so in the church public ministry. When you get right down to it, the Spirit of God applied the Word of God is all that is needed for the reformation. Reformation to reinstate to proper service to God that is based on Scripture. So it was with the 12 apostles in the first century. With the third command, Christ insisted that that church remember what it had received and heard. That is, it was to return to the basic teaching of the gospel. Here, the Lord expected the church to remember many things. For example, it should remember the goodness of God in redeeming sinners through the death of his only begotten Son, and the joy that comes by hearing the message of salvation. It should remember how God himself delights in the obedience of his children. You know, I think about the word of God. I think about God. And we, the people are getting so deep, I had to get a dictionary to understand what they're saying. But the word of God, amen, is simple for the children to understand. They're trying to get to all this revelation when God is trying to tell us to preach the word of God. The fourth command directed by the brethren to develop and maintain the spirit of loyalty. And the fifth requires them to humble themselves before God and return from their evil ways. Come on, somebody, give God the glory. Failure to keep these commands, according to verse 3, will result in Christ visiting the church in divine judgment. God said in his word that he's going to visit the churches first. Amen, praise God. Judgment comes to the house of God first. Come on, my God. He threatens to come against the church unexpectedly. As a thief. The thief imaginary is found in the New Testament passage where the second coming of Christ is viewed. Here, it refers to the historical visitation of Christ to judge this particular church before the the glorious day. I say he's coming before the glorious day. He's going to judge his church, his people of God, to use this as imaginary appropriate, since Christ's temporal judgment provides us with a preview of his final judgment. But for some reason, amen, praise God, when he wrote to this church, he said, I'm going to come. If y'all don't get it together, I'm going to come as a thief in the night, praise God. You're not going to know when I'm coming. And that's what he talks to us about, that we should strengthen ourselves and glory to God and get out of sin and glory to God and do right by the Lord. It's just not the only thing of getting dressed up and looking good. Glory to God. You can be dressed up and looking good, and as my husband say, you could be a garbage on the inside. The people in Sardis understood only too well how. Here, how did this happen? Destruction can come unexpectedly. Even as they boasted that their city was, it can't be attacked. They knew that their theory had already been proven wrong 3 times, and glory to God, by men, and once by God, and 7 years before the conqueror of Babylon. If you go to Daniel, praise God, it talks about this city and the Persian king. Glory to God, dispatched one man to scale the mountains and start and stood, and upon reaching the top, he simply opened the city doors to Cyrus, and the army just walked in. So they thought they was untouchable. The great king Osiris said, amen, over the wall to bring about the city's second disastrous fall. And glory to God, earthquake shook Sardis in such terrible force that it took the city 10 years to even recuperate, praise God. The destruction of the church of Sardis was apparently just as sudden as the city occasional defeat. And although the story of its demise is unknown today, the city is nothing more than, if you go to look at some beautiful for architect, and glory to God, thank you, Lord Jesus, impressive sites, and glory to God, unearthed impressive historical things that's going on, the structures, and that's what it looks at this point, praise God. Once Sardis, most significant temple in the first century, honored Diana, the goddess of Ephesians. Here we go again. It honored, in fact, this temple, which was twice as large, amen, was the 7th largest Greek temple ever built. Those who worshiped Diana had come to the temple in clean and white clothes. And listen to this, people of God. When they came to the Diana church, that church, amen, that glory to God, that they did everything and orgies and sex and all kind of demonic things and cutting the children and sacrificing, but they had to come in all white clothing. How? Sometimes, if you look at the world today, everything that Jesus meant for good, the enemy always trying to taint it. Amen. Praise God. So they wanted everybody to come, amen, with white clothes if they expected to participate in those activities. Like Diana, Christ expected his people in the church as Sardis to approach him wearing undefiled garments. In this case, pure garments represented a righteous walk. The problem, of course, is that many in the church had defiled their clothes by the falling away from God, the things of God. When we think about falling away from the things of God, those white clothes become stained because now you're no more walking with the Lord, but they're walking in sin. Listen, listen. That is what occurred to the church. It was not literally asleep, but it became insensitive to his relationship with Jesus Christ. It became insensitive to its spiritual responsibility. This do not mean that the church members were out freely breaking the law of God. But the relationship was still nonetheless deteriorating because of the lack of their attention. Another aspect is also very important. As the pressure increases from the world, and this is where we have to be careful, it brings stress with it. From, take a look at those who face frequent, stressful hardship, become a fall away. In other words, a person reaches the point where family, he just rolls over, plays dead, and says, who cares? With that in mind, it is no wonder that Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 13, he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. The end time will be stressful, whether or not we are being directly affected physically. The spirit of the age, things will impact upon our mind, and it will tend to make us feel tired, weary, or the whole thing, wishing that God will hurry up and get over with it. That is, of course, understandable. It also helps us to understand why the Bible says some of the things it does regarding the church and the end time. A large portion of the church will be lured into worldliness through being more concerned with the ordinary, self-centered, secular pursuit than with the spiritual work of God. Jesus' warning in Luke 21 and 34, I'm not going to read it all. We take heed to yourself and watch and pray always. It's absolutely essential. According to verse 4, there was a few named in Sardis who had not defiled their garments. The fact that Christ pronounced the church dead earlier probably indicates that these names represent a small minority. Of the four churches we studied thus far, the source of corruption was strong, but there was a large enough remnant of people, of true disciples, to counteract their evil influence. But in Sardis, the remnant was too weak. They got weak. They got weak. We have to be careful. We have to strengthen ourselves. He says, strengthen what remains. If you're weak in your faith, strengthen what remains. The Lord looks and takes note at them. However, in verse 5, he promised them three things. The first promise was the white garments. Some interpret these as the baptism gown, and doubtful though that Christ would have threatened the church so sternly for spoiling piece of their fabric. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about the baptism. These garments were far more important. Their brightness symbolized the forgiveness of their sins through the shed blood of Christ. Glory to God. True believers already have these garments in Revelation 7 and 14. Describe those who survived the great tribulation as having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The 24 elders who represent the church on the earth were the white robes. And as a martyr, praise God, according to chapter 19, the whole church, glory to God, appeared at the Lamb's marriage supper and clothes in fine and white linen and glory to God. In the immediate context of the letter, the church as Sardis, the white robes specifically represent the faithfulness of those who boasted in Christ and not in their past achievement. The others had defiled their garment by mixing their own righteousness with that of Christ. We have to be careful that we don't mix up stuff. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. You know, we can get so righteous and so self-righteous and thank you that you got it all together. But like Jesus said, take heed lest I fall. Glory to God, the pride. Glory to God, we have to get rid of all the pride. You can stain your garment because you don't feel like, glory to God, I ain't gonna never do that. That ain't me. Look at them over there. They just messed up, and that's prideful. My God, I give you glory. Glory is by the grace of God that we stand, people of God. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. In the second promise, Christ guaranteed those who overcome that their names will be never be removed from the book of life. And in the ancient days, the book of life was a census of glory to God, of the region citizens. And although the names of the citizen will be removed from the state registry, it utterly impossible for your name, glory to God, of the true believers to be expunged from the Lamb's book of life. Your name will be written in the book of life. It never will be expunged. That's like somebody, glory to God, that's going to jail. Praise God. The Holy Ghost. And glory to God, they done did their time. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But that record is still there. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. And sometimes it takes someone to go in to get those things expunged. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, our sins has been expunge. It's been taken away from us, never to be seen no more. So when somebody brings back your past life, my records have been expunged. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. And I pray that your name be written in the Lamb's book of life. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Note that this verse is not actually threatened to be blot out, blot anyone's name out of the book of life. In fact, it says that the most Son, the Holy Ghost, the opposite, that the name of those who overcome will never be blotted out. Will you overcome? Somebody say, I am an overcomer. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Other passages in Revelation speak likewise. On the other hand, glory to God, those whose names do not appear in the book of life were never in the start with anyway. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. The name of those worship the beast. My God, the one that worship the devil. My God, I say thank you, Jesus, are not written in the book of the Lamb's book of life. The perfect tense, glory to God, yet quotable Son, the Holy Ghost, never included in the book of life. To the contrary, the only book containing their names are the book of judgment in Revelation 20 and 12. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. The purpose of this promise was to encourage true believers to persevere and to grow in their love for the Lord so that they might thereby prove their genuineness of their faith. And contrast with the verse 1, where the Lord said that a large percentage of the members of the church as starters had a name that they did not deserve. That name, of course, is Christian. God, the quotable Son, the Holy Ghost. We have to be careful. Amen. Praise God. He said, they don't deserve, glory to God, to even put my name, glory to God. And lastly, Christ promised to confess the names. Notice again the emphasis of the names and glory to God of the faithful before the Father and the angel. Actually, this was the promise that Jesus made to his disciples during his earthly ministry. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Glory to God. We don't mind talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the Son of Man will also confess true believers before the angels of God. Not only will the fact that they will wear the white robes show that they bear the name of the Christian and true Christ, but Christ himself will call out their name for all to hear in judgment day on the last day. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Their name will be followed with the condemnation amen, glory, most son, the Holy Ghost, that all true disciples long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Oh, y'all come on with me this morning. Glory to God. I feel good talking about the scriptures this morning. A few commentators, amen, has compared the church as Sardius to the fig tree mentioned. And glory to God. We know the fig tree, amen, praise God, being hungry and finding a tree with no fruit. Jesus cursed it and so that it could never bear fruit again. Jesus found no fruit in Sardis, amen. So he threatened to come against it in judgment to the fig tree. The fig tree instance is sometimes cited by unbelievers as an example of Jesus' lack of kindness, but that's not, they talk about that thing. Glory to God. Why would he have expected to find fruit on a tree when it wasn't harvest time? See, this is what the world says, and glory to God, and why treat it so harshly? But these questions missed the point. Good fig trees are not like other fig trees. The only produce seasonal, rather they have some fruit all year round. Oh, glory to God. Do you have fruit all year round? Not as much as during the winter as the summer, but some nonetheless. The tree that Jesus cursed was not a good tree, and Jesus knew that because it had no winter fruit. Christ, glory to God, condemned it. Glory to God, completely just. And just as the fig tree and the fruit is not seasonal, the fruitlessness and the obedience of God's people should never either. We can, glory to God, look at the part dressed in the press. Glory to God. We look at the people, glory to God, and we say, oh, man, they dressed to impress. Getting closer up, there is no fruit to look at. My God, I say, thank you, Jesus. And this is what Jesus meant, praise God. When he saw the tree afar off, it was, glory to God, how my son, the Holy Ghost. He wanted to see. He got closer, and there was nothing there. So glory to God, he cursed the fruit tree. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. And we got to be careful that we don't get all dressed up. My God, looking good, but glory to God from afar. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. But getting closer up, Jesus want to look at the fruit. He want to see what's left in us. Glory to God, is there any life in them? Are they walking around like spiritual zombies? Glory to God, do I have to pronounce them dead? My God, I say thank you, Jesus. So glory to God, our church can be like that. They can, glory to God. We're going through the motions. We look the part. We do the right thing. We say the right words. We be at the right places. Turn up right. Glory to God. Now they come up going to church. Oh, let's get turned up. But that's a world system, praise God. We're going to turn it up. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. When the world say turn up, that means they going drinking. My God, but now the church and grab a hold of it. Let's go in church and get turned up. My God, but they better hope the Holy Spirit is there. My God, that we can get turned up that way, praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, that we can get lit up. Glory to God. My son, don't run on my son, the Holy Ghost. We have to, oh, glory to God, gravitate to what God wants us to do. And sometimes they try to adopt the world into the church, and God says, no, I don't want the world in the church. I want you to be dressed up, but I want you to be dressed up right. I want you to put on the white clothes. I want you to walk in righteousness. I want you to be without spot or wrinkle. I want you to be the meat that like the master's table. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Turn up at the right gathering at the specific time. And yet our churches could be like Sardis, a well-kept museum. Sardis had been living on a reputation it had earned during its better season. When it was strong and healthy, it should have been practicing righteousness all along to reinforce itself against unfruitful times. Since it had not done so, Sardis rightly received the master's rebuke. Although it is impossible for those who truly love the Lord to apostatize. There are a lot of people who sincerely think their profession of Christ is true, but
find out later that it was not. They are like the seed sown on the bad soil, which either fall to grow or to grow only for a short time. The question is, where are we? Scripture admonishes us to examine ourselves constantly to reassure ourselves of our standing before God. Says, you know, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Let us never presume that we have any sufficiency in ourselves, but let us always find our sufficiency in Christ alone. He will uphold those who seek his grace and mercy through his shed blood. The word that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi describes the attitude and service that will protect a church from becoming like Sardis. He wrote, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in both to will and to do of his good pleasures. The danger of neglecting our spiritual life is that we might never return to it. May God himself keep us from such error. The church was told to wake up. Their wealth and comfort had them lured them to sleep. Their self-satisfaction caused them to die spiritually. Not only had they wandered from the apostles' teaching, but they were no longer growing in faith or evangelism. They lacked compassion, service to others, and had no unity or no love. The question are, you be watchful and alert. If God has given you a place of responsibility to teach, lead, or to serve, use that position to encourage those around you to be spiritually awake and morally prepared and rightly prepared. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We thank you, Jesus. The church at Sardis was vibrant, effective, and was a powerhouse. But inside, it was lifeless. We thank God for his word today. We thank God, amen, Hallelujah, Shanda, Holy Ghost, for teaching us today. We thank God today for you, you, and you. I pray that you was blessed by the word, amen, the church of Sardis, the dead church. Hallelujah, where Jesus pronounced it dead. May he never come to us and pronounce us dead in the name of Jesus. But we will have the fire burning on the inside. Let us pray. Amen. This is Reign of Glory Revival Ministry, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. This morning, our Sunday morning service, amen, for tithes and offering, you can call me. If you don't know how to do it, you can call me 302-883-9799. And also, praise God, if you want to speak to me privately, you can call me 302-883-9799. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't forget on Thursday, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. True Vine International Church will be on with Pastor Ilona Waters at 6 p.m. promptly. Amen. Glory to God. It's been a blessing. Come out and hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We want to keep this fire burning. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Next week, people of God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Remember, people of God, the white clothes, amen, is the righteousness of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We will be at the Church of Philadelphia on next week. Amen. Praise God. Get ready. Get ready, people of God. God has some great things for us. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we come, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Jesus. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us a word, glory to God, that we can hold on to, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, as you have spoken, Lord God, so if we think that we're standing firm, be careful that we don't fall. We thank you, Father God, yes, Holy Spirit, that you will give us standing power, the power to overcome, yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, we won't forget our first work and what we've been taught from the beginning, Father God. We will never let it die, glory to God, with the grace of God in our lives, God. We thank you for the grace upon our heads right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for each and every one under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that we will stand strong in the Lord with the power, with the Holy Ghost help, that we will come forth in power and authority and with the anointing of God. We thank you, Father. And we ask you, God, to move by your Holy Spirit. Bless every home that's represented here, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray the blessings, God, over every giver of this ministry, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that their barns will always be filled, God, that they will be kingdom finances, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I bless you. I give you glory, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. You said we shall rejoice and be glad in it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Let the church say amen and amen and amen. And people, don't forget Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Amen. We'll be back on the prayer line. Amen. Glory to God. Join me. Amen. As we go before the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. We thank and praise God for this day. We ask God to continue to have his way. With that being said, amen. I will leave you with a song. God bless you. Happy Sunday and a week ahead. God bless you all. Jesus loves you and so do I. In Jesus' name, amen.
You saved my soul. I'm compelled to praise you like a woman out of control. So I lift up holy hands, take advantage of this chance to say thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I think about what you brought me through, I'm reminded to praise you for all that you had to do. So I lift up holy hands, take advantage of this chance to say thank you. So from the bottom of my heart, take it.